Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Well, hello, Steve Dale.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
Well,
I'm good.
I've got a theory here. So
okay,
if you're filling in for King John,
mm-hmm.
that makes you Queen Anna.
I'm trying that. I put that out there into the universe. Thank you for
Did you really?
Picking up on that. Yeah, I had that in the ether last time I filled in for him, and I said maybe someone will pick up on this, and you did, Steve Dale.
I did. Well, you know, and when I filled in for him, it was a completely different story.
Yeah.
He came back and said from vacation, he said it was court jester Steve Dale. So. You do much better than me.
HRH on a second reference is fine for me. Hey, we've got important stuff to talk about.
Yes.
And I thought about you because, first of all, my sister just adopted a dog from a shelter that was at a kill shelter in down south somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they shipped that dog and a bunch of dogs that are just about to be, you know, they were just about to be killed up here to Chicago. And she adopted one of them. And then I saw a story in the Tribune that said, geez, it's not like it was during the pandemic. Our
No.
shelters are really filling up again.
Yeah, they are. And there are several different reasons for that. But one explanation is not that the pandemic dogs are being returned. As people go back to their schedules, they're returning the animals. First of all, are people really going back to their schedules? I don't know. Some yes, some no. But that's not the reason. The reasons are the reasons that when there's been historically an economic downturn, if things are kind of quirky, that's my economic technical term,
mm-hmm.
From the economic perspective, then dogs and cats do go into animal shelters. It's just the reality. And tying into that is a housing issue, particularly in urban areas. So, and Chicago's no exception. So it is difficult, particularly in lower income areas, to find properties where you can live with a pet.
Hmm.
Or at least without paying extra money, and you can barely afford the rent in the first place in some cases. So those are the reasons. And the other big reason is, all right, people have adopted dogs and cats historically because they want a dog or a cat.
Right.
During the pandemic, they did that. So now people kind of have all the pets they want. So you combine both of those reasons and then add in the world of cats, it's kitten season because
right.
it's summer. So you add all that together, and this is the explanation for what's going on, not only in Indiana, but Chicago, by the way. Animal Care and Control has too many dogs and cats.
Mm.
So if you're looking for an animal, that's a great place to start. But it's true in all over the country. You name the state or the city, true everywhere.
You know, that reminds me, when I was in news, I found a litter of cats that had been just like left at the side of the road on a
yeah.
story I was on. So I picked them up. I thought, well, at the end of the day, I'll bring them to anti-cruelty. Brought them to anti-cruelty, Steve. And they told me, well, to be tell you the truth, we're not sure that we'd be able to adopt these. This is kitten season. And they probably won't find a home, so we'll have to kill them.
What?
That's what they told me. Did they kill?
How long ago was this?
That was 7 years ago, probably 8 years ago.
It had to be.
Maybe it wasn't anti-cruelty. Maybe it was somewhere else.
Maybe it was somewhere else, but you would not get that answer from anti-cruelty.
Well, I thought it was very strange. I put the cats back in my car, and I drove around with them all day until I found owners for them. They stayed in my car because I had a dog at home, and I had to keep them in the car.
It was the DeVlanta shelter.
Well, it was only about 24 hours, and I found them homes, but
good for you.
Car didn't smell so good.
But no. To clear the air, to be absolutely clear, anti-cruelty would never say that.
Okay, they didn't. Okay, but the guy did say that to me. So maybe that you're going to tell me and correct me to tell me that it is not their policy.
I'll tell you, anti-cruelty under such circumstances are one of the few shelters that would actually take those animals in. They have the resources to do it, and they do. Really where you're supposed to go is Animal Care and Control.
Mm-hmm.
By law, if there's a stray animal, and the reason for that in part is at Animal Care and Control, then it's kind of like a bicycle wheel, and they're the center, and all of the other shelters are kind of like the spokes that come off that,
mm-hmm.
As are rescues. So first, if it's not with kittens, obviously, but typically with stray animals, they may be owned animals. They likely are, right? So they may have a microchip, or that owner may go and find, well, we have in Chicago dozens of shelters, and add on the rescues, it's many more. Where does the owner look? That would be impossible. Now it's possible because they simply go to one place, Animal Care and Control.
All right.
And it's the law. It's an ordinance, actually.
All right. You said you want to mention something about kill shelters.
Oh, yeah. So you mentioned kill shelters, and it's one of those things that drives me crazy because the inclination is that people think, okay, if there's a kill shelter, no kill shelter, the other shelters are kill shelters. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means. I may have known 20 years ago, kind of, sort of. But the implication is those animal shelters actually want to kill. No animal shelter kills. First of all, they euthanize. And they do it only under the worst circumstances, which means they're filled. Mm-hmm. Or maybe an animal that has an incurable medical issue or there's a severe behavior problem. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, no facility, even Animal Care and Control in Chicago or any municipal facility anywhere, wants to do that. And I really hate that terminology because it's divisive and it's set up the no kill versus the kill. And you know what? If you're working at a shelter, you know what I'm talking about.
For sure. You get attached to these animals,
of course.
I'm sure, and you want to find homes
for
them.
Of course.
But when there's an overpopulation, you're just, the numbers work against you.
But even the so-called no kill shelters, what they do then is they stop taking in animals.
Oh, I see.
So what's the difference?
The others. Yeah.
You know, so it's all that's that wheel I talked about. It's all that big wheel with that spoke in the middle and all that.
Yeah, well, that's an important clarification. I get your point. Something you wanted to mention that is relates back to what I've been talking about earlier on the show, the Highland Park shooting, and that there's some history here that relates to animal cruelty sometimes.
Very often. So we don't know exactly how often, but a significant percent of those involved, not only in mass shootings, but in shootings period, and or domestic violence in particular, at one point in time have been guilty of animal cruelty. And I'm not talking about just kicking a dog, not that that's ever excusable, but I am talking about severe animal cruelty. And the thing now, apparently, is to post it on the internet at a variety of different websites. In Uvalde, Texas, and Buffalo, New York, that is exactly what the shooters did. There was something sitting in Congress called the Animal Cruelty Enforcement Act, waiting for passage anyway. I had on Congressman Mike Quigley on the program, my afternoon program this past week, and he agreed with me that there is a link. It is absolute. It's not my opinion. It's been demonstrated for a long time. And in fact, as it happens, I was on the board of the American Humane Association when a gentleman by the name of Phil Arco was the first to do it. Now he has established the National Link Coalition. Law enforcement greatly knows about the link. The link I'm talking about is the link between violence to animals and then violence to humans. Odds are, if you are violent to an animal in one way, shape, or form, you may not be a mass shooter. More likely, maybe domestic violence. But whatever it is, it's not good.
So and do you think that should be part of the record in terms of trying to figure out red flags and building a case on somebody?
Arguably, it's the reddest of red flags. I mean, it's clear. Beside, who wants animal abuse? You want to protect the animals.
For sure.
So right now,
couldn't agree more.
If there's, who do you report it to? And if you report it to a local authority, what do they do with that information? So what this act does is it immediately elevates that information instantly to the feds. And it directs not only this information to the feds, but they will have a separate branch that they only look at animal cruelty cases to get help for that individual and or to arrest that individual.
Yep. Just a lot of comments here on the text line about the cost of having a pet right now. Food is expensive.
Sure.
It is for them, too. Veterinarians are expensive. Someone here is saying my food bag increased $10 a bag. Are there resources for this? You and I have talked about this a lot. It doesn't seem like there are enough for people who really need it.
There are never enough for people either. You know,
right? For sure.
We have no data to indicate people are giving up pets for that reason because they can no longer afford them. Having said that, there are pets that don't get veterinary care. They should because of affordability issues. But there are low-cost veterinary clinics and there are food banks specifically for pets.
All right, so check that out first if you're in that position. Thank you, Steve Dale. Good seeing you.
It's great to see you. It's like old time.